This is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk, and I'm here in studio with Charlie Deist. He is a volunteer for the San Francisco Sailing Science Center. Charlie, tell us a little bit about what fascinates you about sailing and science and why you volunteer.
Well, first it was the sailing. The science was the area that I felt like I had the most room for improvement. I'm a media guy myself. I've been producing radio and podcasts for several years. So when I met Jim, I saw two opportunities. One was to use some of my skills in that department, but also to bolster some of my own knowledge and resources around the science of this activity that I've come to really love as my primary hobby and also an avocation.
Jim, you're referring to is James Hancock, who's the founder of the San Francisco Sailing Science Center. Tell me a little bit about your own sailing experience. I know you have a couple of boats. You're out there on the water a lot. You teach, you sail, you just really enjoy the water. What is it about the nature and the physics of nature that really fascinates you the most when you're in the sailor role?
Well, I was a beginner not too long ago. About 10 years ago, in my early 20s, I started sailing. And as most beginners to the sport of sailing, I had my fair share of missteps and was humbled by San Francisco Bay more than a few times. But eventually, with practice and just taking every opportunity that I could to get out on my own boats, on other people's boats, I started to get my bearings. And you get this sort of intuitive sense of how the waves and the wind interact. But having a scientific understanding of it, I think just kind of takes it to the next level. The day that I first met Jim and learned about the Sailing Science Center, I had sailed over from Berkeley on my Columbia 24 to the St. Francis Yacht Club, which hosts their Wednesday yachting luncheons. I think that was a typical summer day in San Francisco, so winds blowing 20 knots or so. Fortunately, I think that it was flooding at the time. When the westerly winds clash with the ebb tide, it can lead to a pretty nasty surf there. But it was a good day for sailing, and it turned out to be a good day for my own kind of personal development.
Well, and for those who know anything about the moon and tides, we have a flood and an ebb twice a day. Floods coming through the Golden Gate right there in St. Francis Yacht Club.
It's kind of a funny balance because the flood, on the one hand, it creates better conditions when combined with the westerly winds. Although if you're trying to get from Berkeley heading east toward against the flood, basically, it slows you down. So there's all these trade-offs. And learning to sort of sync up with the tides and currents, I think, has also been almost a spiritual thing for me. It's a way to connect to nature on a level that most people just aren't used to thinking about.
I really appreciate you coming and sharing your story with us and hope to have you back, Charlie. Thank you so much. This is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk.
All right, crisscross applesauce. Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, Tuesday at 9:40 our time. That's San Francisco. We check in with Karen Lyle from SalesportTalk.com, and she has always an eclectic group of guests. Today, it's just Karen and myself, as Karen is... Karen, are you en route, or are you already in the British Virgin Islands?
Well, I will be en route tonight. I'm doing a red-eye flight, so I'm still here in the San Francisco Bay Area, but I just got back from the New York Yacht Club, as a matter of fact, in that model room, and I took some pictures. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. I wasn't supposed to take any pictures. No, I didn't take pictures.
Did they really? They really say no pictures?
Yes, you can't take pictures inside.
Wow.
You have to, it's the thing about private clubs is that they're private, and so when people come in, and bring guests and so forth, who's there and what happens is really, what happens stays there, and you don't talk about it outside the club.
Sounds like Las Vegas.
There might be some similarities, but I think the environment might be a little different.
So, right there on 44th Midtown, it's an amazing building. It's over 100 years old.
Yeah, they're doing some renovation on the outside of the building, so they have scaffolding out. Yeah, I know. So, but the inside is truly gorgeous, and it's got a great deal of history. I was actually there doing research in their private library, in their charts that they had about Fire Island and this man named Sam Green, who was a good friend of John and Yoko, John Lennon and Yoko Ono, because of a piano that they owned. And so, you know, it just happened to be the reason that was there at that time. But it was pretty cool.
Well, when you think about where you're going, it was once, you know, they called it the Danish West Indies. And, I mean, Christopher Columbus, this is basically what he saw. And it was Santa Ursula y las 11,000 Virgenes, you know, St. Ursula and the 11,000 virgins. I guess saying Virgin Islands is a bit shorter, but what are you going to do down there?
Well, I'll be on a catamaran for a month.
Ooh.
And I'm going to call in and collect stories. You know, as I've been, this is my ninth year of going to the British Virgin Islands. And really, it is my vacation. It's my time off. It's what I like to do when I'm on vacation, is to go on a boat out in the middle of the British Virgin Islands, where the temperature is somewhere around 70 to 80 degrees and the water's warm, and I can see all the way down at least 30 feet when I go in snorkeling. And so we have different guests. There's two trips. We're actually taking out the boat for 10 days and then staying in a hotel and then another 10 days. So we have guests who will be with us each time, different group.
Well, so we know that.
What kind of questions? Mm-hmm. What kind of questions do you have for me if I'm going to call in and bring you stories from the BVI? What interests you?
Well, obviously, when you're on assignment like that, you're going to, paint a picture of what you're seeing, you know. And you think about, I think, the colonial history as well, the European influence, the African influence. But I also know, as you said, you've been going many years, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Maria really devastated that place. Did you see the destruction?
I did, and it was a very interesting experience, because I was there the year before, a few months before Irma, and then I came the year after, and yes, there was the devastation on land and also underneath in the coral, because I had been to these places throughout the Virgin Islands, like Cooper Island and Virgin Gorda and other places that are all these islands scattered along the Sir Francis Drake Channel. I've been under the water as much as I've been on top of the water. And what really amazed me was the resilience of life. And I mean the resilience of human life, because people had the roofs of their houses blown off and they were still living in them and while things were being rebuilt. And in the life underneath, you could still see the baby fishes and all the same species of fishes there. The massive coral structures were gone, but you could see, like, the brain coral that grows over the rock, you know, you could see it starting to grow again. And so it was just, I think it was inspiring to me. I mean, it was a loss, what has been lost, but it was inspiring to me to see how life just continues to grow and evolve and adapt to these things that are cataclysmic for the area.
What is, by the way, speaking with Karen Lyle on her way to the British Virgin Islands, sailsporttalk.com. All right, you're on a catamaran for a month. Now, what does that entail? Are you sleeping on it? How many days are you ashore? What's the itinerary then?
Well, so we arrive by ferry from St. Thomas, which is the U.S. Virgin Islands, and then we go stock our boat. So our boat is at a marina when we arrive, and we basically go down to the local grocery store, and those of us who are going to be on the boat go shopping. So we just get like two or three shopping carts, and we each go out and buy food to get us through the time that we're going to be on the boat. Knowing that we're going to have some restaurants and sometimes on land, but we're pretty much living on the boat. And we each have, everybody has a cabin. It's a really nice living space. So, you know, in a catamaran, you've got a lot of space.
Do you know these people that you're with? I mean, it's going to, because...
Oh, always.
Oh, okay, because it'd be cramped quarters there.
I personally would never spend 10 days boat with someone that I hadn't sailed with and that I didn't know. It just would not be, for me personally, I wouldn't do that. It's my vacation. I want to make sure I have a good time.
Right. So how do you make that work then with, not getting on each other's nerves nonstop? Cabin fever,
well,
so to speak.
You're in this absolutely amazing environment because the British Virgin Islands is beautiful, and the reason why I keep going back there is because there are consistent winds. You're always going to have wind to sail with, so you're not having to motor everywhere. You have this beautiful clear water with, you know, you can dive a wreck, you know, which I have done, as well as being able to snorkel and see all the life underneath the water. And usually we're on an itinerary of what are we going to do tomorrow, not being decided until the night before. So it's kind of, you know, any place you go, it is where the wind blows. It really is literally that.
So you go to, do you say Tortola or Tortola, the main town there?
Tortola. So that's usually where we start, and it's quite a big island, and it has quite a few harbors around it, so we will come back to it on our trip. But usually we'll take off from Tortola and go across the way to Norman Island, and what we're doing is we're catching a mooring ball. So in a catamaran, there's basically two of us up at the bow and one at the helm, and we have to thread this this line through a hook, you know, a little eye that you catch with a hook, and then your boat is attached. You know, you tie it off to your boat, and it's attached to this mooring ball. So you're not actually going into a marina most of the time. It's on a mooring ball, you know, all the 10 days that you're out there when you're there. And then once you're on the mooring ball, your boat is safe. I usually will just hop in the water because it's great, and I'll go dive the mooring ball to make sure it's securely anchored in the bottom, and the boat's not, and it's not going to come loose, and the boat's not going to go floating off into some other boat or the shore or something like that. But what was the question again? I got lost in the detail.
Well, when I hear catamaran, I just think of dual hull with a sail in the middle. Like, how many people, how many hands on deck, and then what's the, what's it like underneath? How much room do you have to move around?
Well, a cabin is quite generous. So in the cabin that I will be in, you know, I have a desk, I have a head, we call it a head, it's the mm-hmm. bathroom. And a bed that's usually, you know, double or queen size, plenty of headroom so you can stand up and walk around. And so the halls are usually where the living spaces are. And then the space between the halls is a living room and a galley, and, you know, the galley is the equivalent of what we call the kitchen. And it's a generous space. And then on top of the catamaran, there is places that you can lie around under the sun while you're traveling, or, you know, it's depending upon the conditions. And the conditions are really quite balmy. It's not like adventure sailing. This is really more relaxed, you know, where the breeze is enough to propel the boat and give you a good time, but it's not dangerous. I mean, even when we have squalls that we go through, which we usually have a few squalls on every trip, it's more fun things that you're worried about your safety. You know, you have to take the safety precautions, of course.
What one thing are you most looking forward to on this trip? What destination?
Boat.
Boat.
I mean, the destination is boat. There's no question about that. Oh, you know, I like going back over the places I've been before and kind of watching the coral grow, you know, it's happened. And I haven't been, last year we went to the U.S. Virgin Islands, you recall, I called you from there.
Yeah.
Which, because of the quarantine, I just didn't want to go through the quarantine for BVI. But, so it's been since 2019 since I've been to these islands. So that means that there's been, you know, almost a 3-year gap. So I'm going to see how much coral grows and what's happened with the fish life. I mean, the people there, they're so similar. Every time you go, I see people that I know, but the culture is very old. And those who are, they're called belongers, you know, those who are natives to the indigenous people to the islands, are just delightful people. And I certainly enjoy when I'm on shore spending time with them.
All right, well, have a good trip, and we'll talk to you next time from the wilds of the Caribbean, huh?
Okay, we'll do. I'll bring you stories.